Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you again for bearing with us with these unforeseen issues that we constantly seem to be faced with Blog Talk Radio. So unfortunate that once we're getting into the conversation that we get disconnected. So I do apologize to you. I promise you it is not an era that I have any control over. I think that this hour is one of the top hours that they have for the show, as well as our 9 p.m. Slot that we have on Sundays. And so I guess with the high volume, they have some errors. I think my co-host has been reconnected. Are you there, Manuel? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I am back.
Don't we just love Blog Talk? I just say it with
we
me.
Do.
I just,
we do.
Oh, we do. I think I should be getting money back at this point. How many times this happens. So we're going to just try to jump into the topic. It seems like just as it's starting to get good, this happens. Like, this is so weird when that, it's like, are they listening in and they're like, cut them out right about here.
Right.
I'm just kind of like, what is that? So anyway, we're talking about twin flames, soul connections. I already had someone who, you know, said as a Christian, they don't believe that they should adhere to beliefs that are, you know, built in astrology and so forth. And I let the person know that historically, you know, even when I went to school to study theology, we actually have to study astrology and different elements, because there are a lot of traditional beliefs that the people in biblical times did adhere to that, you know, you can say are connected. And what happens is people get leery because of certain scriptures, and they kind of feel like, oh, I can't, you know, that's just, you know, it's like spooky belief systems. But oftentimes it's just, you know, there's different names for it. You know, when you go to different regions, they may say, you know, they may have something that means, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something random. Basically they have, you know, there's different lingo, there's different words to describe the same thing. You see a lot of that in astrology, as well as things that people in biblical times believe that, you know, cross paths. So at any rate, I just said, okay, well, just listen and hear, you know. So we're talking about twin flames, and I kind of pulled it up to kind of get some information on it. But can you give, like, what is the definition that you have of what that actually means? Like, what is a twin flame?
Hold on, my browser is just coming up, because I had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to you know, bring into that myself. Hold on 1 second, it's laying. I have it.
Okay, because why are you looking? I have, you want me to read what I have?
Yeah, read yours, and it should be the same as mine.
Okay, so this is from the Center for Soul Evolution, and
okay,
it says.
That's the same one I have.
Okay, is that what? Is it? Did you? Okay, then I'll read it since it's
right,
what you're going to read.
I did.
Okay, so twin flames, also called twin souls, are literally the other half of our soul. we each have only one twin, and generally, after being split, the two went their separate ways, incarnating, incarnating over and over to gather human experience before coming back together. Ideally, this happens in both of their last lifetimes. You know, a lot of Christians are going to be like, oh, heck no.
Right, right.
Because we're like, we ain't believing in all that. This happens in both of their lifetimes on the planet so they can ascend together. So you probably haven't had many lifetimes with your twin. Each twin is a complete soul, not half a soul. It is their task to become more whole, balancing their female and male sides, and ideally becoming enlightened before reuniting with their twin. This reunion is of two complete and whole beings. All other relationships through all of our lives could be said to be practice for the twin, the ultimate relationship. What do you think about that?
That's one of those things I totally subscribe to. I do believe that that bond has to be like probably one of the most powerful. And you know, and even though I'm considered among a lot to be a heathen, you know, I was raised the same way in the Christian church. We, you know, any sort of incarnation, reincarnation, being here before, you know, another lifetime and astrology and any of that other stuff, we didn't, you know, give any sort of credit to it. But I believe there's always something to something. I don't believe anything just comes out of thin air. Now, how, you know, relevant it is to what actually is, that can always be debated. But I do believe there's something to that. You know, twin flames, twin souls, those people that are drawn to each other somehow, some way, it has to be something that's significant, because far too many people attest to it, and far too many people can't explain bonds that just seem to just happen, you know, with people that mm-hmm. they don't know or people that they weren't aware of, but they find themselves instantly familiar with, you know, sometimes more familiar with than with people they spent life around.
Right.
So there's always different, and different cultures have it. Like the Greeks referred to it as being your soul twin. And I'm going to read just a little bit about that one. The ancient Greeks believed that our souls were once whole and God divided them into two different halves. That's the mm-hmm. Greeks, and it speaks almost to the exact same thing which we were speaking. So, and this is, finding our soul twin often feels like finding peace in ourselves, and that was missing, like a peace, you know. And again, it just speaks to the same thing. I don't think all these different cultures are just making things up. Now, one of the things that it does bring to light is that there's a reason for and a season. You know, so sometimes people assume their soulmate is the person that they're supposed to meet, marry, fall in love, have children with, spend the rest of their life with, and happily ever after. Unfortunately, we know life deals way too many, you know, funny hands and mitigating circumstances can alter any outcome. So, you know,
right.
It also talks about the reason. When you come across a soulmate for a reason, it's usually meet and need. And then there's for a season. You know, you come into this person's life for a season, and there's growth and there's maturity and there's finding of oneself. And who knows, you know, you might meet your soulmate and this person meets their demise, you know. So it doesn't mean that this person wasn't your soulmate. It just means that this person was your soulmate, but that doesn't mean y'all were meant to be in each other's lives forever. And so, you know, there's all kinds of things surrounding it, but I absolutely 100% do believe we have soulmates, you know, maybe not one, you know, maybe more than one, but we have people that we're tied to and we're bound to. But I do think it's far and in between. I don't think it's a lot of people that you're going to find those connections with, you know, in your lifetime.
Right. And I think, I think when people, you know, if you look at your life and you think about why we connect with certain people and why we don't connect with other people, and how easy it is to connect with some and then how you have some in your life where it's just like, oh, I just can't. and you were touching on, you know, the Greek terminology for it, and that's basically what I was saying. You know, culturally,
right.
there's always going to be a different terminology or lingo for something. You know, if you look at the Bible, you know, it talks about kindred spirits and you know, different things like that. So the lingo is different, but, you know, when you start to look at what the definition of these things are, they really are intertwined and really do pretty much come out the same. And even in scripture, it talks about how God, you know, knew us before he, you know, placed us in the wombs of our mothers. And, you know, people could say that would allude to there being some sort of conscious, some sort of existence with him before we actually took on the bodily form. You know, and so it can get, you know, we would need a lot more time to like really get deep into that and kind of see how you can really correlate a lot of things biblically that kind of line up and kind of mirror some of the beliefs that you see in astrology and in different aspects of that. And I know a lot of people are not going to want to hear that and probably will take my words wrong, and that's okay. you can get in my inbox. It's okay. There, it is scriptural, and you know, you just kind of have to look at things a little bit deeper. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in reincarnation and different things. I do believe in the evolution of the soul. I do believe that we existed before we existed in bodily form. I do think that the spirit is so much more deeper than what we realize. And I think that our relationships speak to that. And I think that when you do find certain connections with people, you know, it is for a reason. And like you said, sometimes it's for a season, and sometimes, you know, it's people that are meant to walk with us in some aspect throughout our lives. And so I think when we kind of talked about this before, I had mentioned, you know, one of my really, really close friends, and she definitely is one of my soulmates. She's someone that we had an instant bond that was crazy, crazy. Like, I can't even, like, really put it into words, but it was just the craziest bond. When we really sat down and talked, we, like, talked for hours and cried with each other. Like, we have been longtime friends, and we didn't, you know, we barely knew each other. And so some 20 years later, we're still just as close. So, yeah.
I believe in those bonds. As far as being here before, going to be here again,
I just say
I don't know. The one thing that I do believe, I do believe in laws of physics and universal laws, and energy does not cease to exist. It only changes form. So it's only two things that are happening. Either we ascend to the next place, whether it be up or down, heaven or hell, whichever you believe, that mm-hmm. energy has a destination. Or if that energy, you know, goes into another, and then this is when it gets a little bit more sciencey, parallel universes, and, right, you know, we got parallel universes and universal planes and this, that, and the third, and other dimensions. Who knows? That stuff we don't know, we won't know, we can only theorize about. And our religious beliefs do lend to some ideas that, you know, give us some understanding and kind of, you know, quiet those questions. But I do believe the soul does not just end here. It does go somewhere else. And I believe that those connections, those soul connections, are sustained. You know, I would say this. If you have a soul connection with somebody, and I highly doubt that in your lifetime you forget and no longer remember that person significantly. I doubt it. There's no way. I don't believe that's possible. Because it's not like because love is already a strong enough bond, but the soul connection and then that love, it's impossible. it would be impossible to, for that not to be. And not saying that that bond is going to infringe upon future relationships or intimate relationships that you're going to have with people that you decide to spend the rest of your life with. It's just saying that it is so powerful and significant that it's not going anywhere. But it's not to be confused with, and I was wondering if we're going to get into this, not to be confused with soul ties based on the intimacy between men and women that are shared when we, you know, we're sexually involved and we exchange energies. That's not the same as a soul connection. Those are soul ties, and the definitions are quite different. The soul connection is something that does not require any physical intimacy whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a soul tie, you know, there's love, there's a bond, there's lust, emotion, infatuation, all those other things, and then there's all that brought together into, you know, to the physical, and then those souls become tied when you exchange, you know, physically, emotionally, intimately, and everything else. So there are differences. Everybody's not going to be intimate with their soulmate. You know, it's not going to always work out like that.
Ew, no. I couldn't, no. No,
right,
that
right,
would be
right.
Disturbing. You know, it bears to be stated that when someone starts to, you know, study about soul connections and, you know, twin flames, whatever you want to call it, it's, you know, the physical aspect of it will be the, you know, the least discussed, because when you start to talk about the soul, that transcends, the spirit transcends the physical. It's so much more deeper. And that's how you know when someone is still on that shallow ground, when the connection is the physical, because the physical really isn't that important, I would dare to say.
I agree.
Yeah, it's not the main component. It's just a byproduct of what happens when you,
right,
you know, have all these other things that are going on emotionally at, you know, sometimes, and like you said, you're not always going to, you know, it may be a close friend that you, you know, that is one of your soulmates. But yeah, you know, when you start to study it, it is something so much more deeper. And that's why when people connect with someone and they feel this, you know, this instant comfortability, this instant connection, this instant knowing that, you know, there's a trust there, this person cares for them, you know, you instinctively know that about someone. And that is, you know, that has nothing to do with the physical. So, but hold on, this is an article I just pulled, and it seems like she has something interesting to say. She said the twin flame relationship is one of the highest forms of relationship there is to manifest at this time. It can be the most challenging, as our twin flame is the mate of our being, that is our authentic self as soul. The twin flame relationship operates from the light of oneness, which encompasses what is perceived as both good and bad shadow aspects of who we are. Okay, that's interesting. This relationship offers the biggest arena for our creative expression to manifest if we are able to receive it. Our twin flame will reflect this hidden shadow element to us more closely, showing us where we are off center. If we are off center, our twin flame will also be off center in the same area, but may not consciously know it. How much the twin flame flames have integrated their soul light design with their physical being will determine how long they will be able to maintain a relationship with each other in the same physical environment. There is much that goes on within more hidden levels of relationships that can impact this relationship in the physical realm as well. And hold on, this last part. We are all souls that step down a portion of our energy into a human form for our unique purpose. In the case of twin flames, they have the same electronic blueprint that is very much linked with their soul's purpose. It is like the twin flames are viewing the same vision for manifestation and integrating it. one from the perspective of woman and one from the perspective of man. So what do you think of that?
I like that, and I think it's very accurate. It's like divine inspiration when you think about it. You know, it's just very powerful, I think. And the biggest thing is that there's an offset. It's almost like there's a mirror to some degree. You know, this person shows up and they can show you without even trying what you're missing or what you can aspire to be or where you kind of come short. And it's not, and it doesn't feel bad. It feels good. You know, it's not one of those things. It's not a moment of conviction for you to where you look at it as, I shouldn't have come across this person. You realize that I needed to come across this person to realize whatever it is. And I would imagine that, you know, that after coming across this person or these like souls, that moving forward in life, you're better for it. You can't come away from something like this and not be better for it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And she actually says a lot of interesting stuff. Just and I've said that, anyone that, is meant to walk with you in your life, it's always, they're always supposed to be, pushing you and not audibly, but not always audibly, but just the presence and that connection should always be pushing the individual to tap in and to be in tuned with what their purpose is, to be better, to embrace those things and create, healing versus chaos. And a lot of people, I don't know if this person is, should be in my life. And it's, it comes down to those simple questions. Are they,
right.
Are they creating chaos? Are they promoting, the greatness within you? Are they, can they identify your purpose? Do they see your creativity and being able to see someone, just like with my friend Angie, we don't have to have the words, all these words spoken between us. Her mere presence in my life, inspires me, to reach higher and to, kind of calls me to a place of accountability. Just talking to her on the phone, I'm instantly like, and I have just a couple of people, that I experienced that with, but that's definitely how people that are bringing chaos and confusion are not people that, are intended, to be a part of our life, of our circle. So
right.
That's what I think. Yeah, and I'm trying to pull this up. Let's see.
And I agree with that too. I mean, I'm not saying that every person that enters our lives should be a blessing, but you know good and well when somebody enters your lives, and like you said, it's toxic, it's chaos. We all have friends, family members, associates, or whoever that, man, it just seems like they come with a bunch of mess. Like there's never a moment of peace with that person. And we can be attracted to that sometimes if we're attracted to the wrong things. But again, when that soul connection, I don't think can possibly be something that it may have some slight up and downs, but there's no way it can't be enriching to your soul if that's what it's supposed, if that's what it is. I highly doubt that.
Yeah. And I guess and that's growth and comes with, as we, grow in our wisdom and decide that we want to embrace the positive and giving energy to negativity really does take away from our lives in so many different aspects. So
what I would wonder is, and I would not recommend, I would not recommend people be searching out or looking for their soulmate, because
there's no way that you can really, you can't, it's such an authentic you know, experience when, you know, there's many people that, you know, we may be, you know, have a kindred spirit with, you know, people who believe, you know, have belief systems as we do, and, you know, and we get along great, but I don't think, I mean, how could you, I don't know how one would go about trying to find that, like, because it's not, I don't know, how would you even try to begin to
right.
look for that?
I would imagine, you, like anything, you come up with your own filter, you know, connections, vibes, energies, you know, what connects to you on a certain level, and you start to just kind of water down all the little things when you encounter people, and you say, well, you know, if I X out this, and this, and people give me this kind of energy or these, you know, you try to, people will come up with a criteria to try to come up, to try to find somebody, and there's no, I don't even think there's a blueprint. That's interesting. Maybe we need to see if there's a blueprint to finding your soulmate. Maybe there is.
I don't know. I'll let you do that. I don't think it is. I just think that, you know, and I've said this before, the only honest place within us is our soul, and that place where, you know, it's like, you know, some people might call it the gut feeling or whatever, but it's that place inside of us that can't be tainted by, you know, lies and so forth. It's always going to be honest, whether it's doing good or evil. You know, your soul is always going to tell off on what's really going on inside of you. And I think that's, you know, we don't have control over that. So our soul is the only one that can really connect that. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I walk around saying I'm looking for a soulmate? Like, are you him? Like, what questions would I ask? I don't know. That would, yeah. So, I don't know. I think it just, when it happens and when you, you know, connect with someone on that level, I think it's just, it's out of your control, basically. It's just like your soul just takes over. So anyway, it looks like I have once again lost my co-host, but this is actually a really, really interesting topic, and we've gotten disconnected and had a few issues tonight. So we're going to definitely try to pick this conversation back up and hopefully have one that's a bit more smooth sailing without any interruptions and so forth, and really get into it. I really want to get your feedback on what you believe, coming from a Christian background like myself, definitely not believing in incarnation and reincarnation. So there's, you know, of course I have to line up, you know, my beliefs with what scripture says. So there's a lot of elements to, you know, and that's just what my personal beliefs are, but definitely want to get your feedback and have you share with us what you believe about soul connections and twin flames, and, you know, can get kind of, you know, really do, you know, a little spooky when you get into it. But there are elements to truth. I think if you look at most belief systems, you can find those elements of truth, and no one has it completely right. So we're still searching for the truth. And we're actually just about out of time. And unfortunately, because we got disconnected earlier. It looks like, let's see what happens if we can get him. Are you there?
I'm back. Blog Talk be kicking me off on Wednesday nights, man. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either, but
censorship.
Yeah, but we're not censored, which is so crazy.
I know.
I was saying, I was probably rambling just a tad bit, but I was saying that I really want to get some of the listeners' feedback on what they believe. And, you know, as far as me, you know, coming from a Christian background, you know, I don't believe in reincarnation. I think the language, of course, changes and certain things. We're basically saying the same, but we're using a different, you know, descriptive for it. But I haven't really come across too many people that I've connected with on a soul level. Like I've had, you know, I have friendships and people I care about, but the ones, the very, very, very few, the ones that, you know, I feel it in my soul, you know, very, very rare, like not many at all, maybe two or three.
Right.
Maybe. No, I know exactly who I'm connected with. So, but yeah, but it's a beautiful thing. It's to me, I think it's the absolute most beautiful experience to meet someone and you're instantly like I know you, but I
right,
don't,
right.
but I know you, like I feel you, like where is that coming from? And so it makes me excited, makes me smile. It's like a torturous type of thing too. You know, it's kind of a bittersweet type of thing sometimes. So,
I mean, and like I said, I mean, there's the fantasy idea that, oh, soulmates, marriage, love, long-term relationships in life, and we would hope so. I mean, that would be just so picturesque. That's why I say if there was some sort of map to where, you know, we knew who these people were and we could find them and live lives heavily after, then that would be awesome. But we know it's never that simple. I would like to know how many people are in those lifelong relationships with people that they consider their soulmates. That would be really interesting to know.
Well, I like I said, I have, you know, one of my soulmates is one of my best friends. And we've talked about it, like we recognized it when it actually hit us. And it was interesting because she came into my life right before I went, and I'll say like, I want to say maybe like a year or so before I went through the absolute worst thing I've ever gone through to date in my life. That was that pinnacle, that life. It wasn't even a pinnacle. It was that life-changing situation that changed me to my very core. It's like, you know, everybody won't experience it, but people who have experienced it, whether it comes through death or loss, or, but it's that thing that happens in your life that it's like the fire of life and the fire of wisdom literally burns away all of the falseness, everything that you walked around in life believing was important and all those things that just changes you instantly, and it doesn't change you temporarily. It changes you literally, like it's changing your DNA. Your code is completely changed, and that, you know, and we always knew that it was divinely appointed because she, you know, she's always been one of my strongest, you know, supporters. And going through that, I can't imagine going through that. You know, if I look back in retrospect, I can't imagine not having her. But our connection happened not too far from that whole situation. And so, you know, it's definitely beautiful. And you realize that these are the people that are supposed to walk with you in life. And we don't talk every day or every other day. Sometimes there's months that go by that we don't talk. And anybody, I'm not like a real phone. I don't have to be on the phone every day. Get me like every, you know, like maybe once a week and I'm good to have a good conversation with you. But, you know, but we have this instant, like when I talk to her, my heart swells with love for her and hers for mine. It's deeper than a sisterhood. It's deeper than, there's not really a title that I can give her. I can say, oh my, you know, this is my best friend. This is my sister, but it's so much deeper than that. Like, and that's the only way that I could describe it. And other people that, you know, I've heard talk about connections that they have with someone, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. You just, you know, I just knew her and she knew me. And it was like, we just, I don't know, it's crazy. It's like, I've always known her. Like, I literally, like, we've always, like, I would just, when we sat down, oh, and someone's in my inbox saying, oh, that's beautiful. When we sat down and we had our, what I would call our breakthrough conversation. We were sitting outside of a studio we had been recording, and we just, she had some stuff she wanted to say, and we started talking, and then the minutes turned into hours, and we cried with each other. We were telling each other, I mean, we just covered so much ground, and it was, I had never experienced that before. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's how it felt for me. And like I said, we've been over 20 years now, close and beautiful. I would give my life for her instantly without even thinking about it.
That's significant. That's awesome. No, I've only had the romantic encounters. my male friends, we tight, but I don't know if we quite that tight. You know, ain't no little heartfelt.
Nah, you didn't sit down and have a heart to heart and cry.
Heart to heart. Let's talk about some sports or something. Oh, we agree. Men are different. Men are different.
Yeah.
We don't connect on that level with one another. And like I don't know. I wouldn't imagine. I've never heard a story. There's no story that a man, I haven't experienced, and I've never heard a man tell a story like that. But that doesn't mean
I can give you a reference to tell you that love between men can be possible, and of course not in a romantic way. You know, Jonathan and David. If you believe in, you know, if you follow scripture, you believe it. I mean, the story of Jonathan and David is definitely King David and Jonathan. their description, me and Angela, we've actually, you know, connected that, and it's very, very much so how I feel about her. It was just, you know, just where you just take someone in and you just, where they're just in your heart, you know. And I only, you know, aside from my family, non-blood, you know, people, there's, you know, there's only three that, you know, literally like live in my heart with everyone else that, you know, that I say I love. And, you know, those people, I would just, you know, I would do whatever. It wouldn't be a question of anything. Like I love them. And you know, the people that I love, they know I love. They know. Nobody has to inbox and say, "Who are you talking about?"
I was just gonna go there. I was gonna say, "I don't wanna know."
Really? You don't know?
Yeah. No, I don't know either. We didn't have these conversations. No, I'm just kidding.
You answered it right. You've had enough. When you said, "Yeah," no, so you.
No. We've had, but no, I do. I mean, all machismo and male false bravado and homophobia aside, you know, we do have those connections as men where, you know, our friends, our homeboys, our boys, our day ones, whatever, however we want to tag it, you know, we maintain friendships, you know, that are lifelong friendships that are identified by, you know, these connections, these bonds, these similarities. And, we don't realize it maybe right away because we're not as intuitive sometimes. But as we mature and we come into ourselves, certain people stick around and certain people don't. And you realize, like, these dudes, these males, they understand you. They bond with you even though you guys have some differences. You know, my two best friends are so far away from and I admire both of them for different reasons. But, you know, I'm considered among them two, I'm probably the heathen, and they're the others, you know, and these guys are just, you know, exemplary. I mean, they're both fathers, they're both married, and we've all been married. We're all fathers, you know. We're all good, you know, respectful fathers. None of us are troublemakers, but I've been the one that has made the most trouble, and they've actually kept me grounded. Because, I mean, if these dudes weren't in my life, I mean, there's no telling. I mean, they're the ones that'll grab me and say, "Dude, come on now. Okay, we know you're ridiculous, but you're being a little bit beyond ridiculous at this point." And right. You know, one's a minister and one's a lawyer, and these guys they're great guys, but you know, we've known each other, again, we go back, you know, 15 plus years, you know, in our lives.
That's beautiful. Those are beautiful relationships.
Yeah, and those are bonds that you build, like you said, there's no question as to, you know, what you'll do for them. You know, the phone call just has to be made, and it's like, whatever it is, I'll make it happen. If I don't have it, I'll figure it out, you know. And we need those bonds. Human beings, we have to realize one thing, and this is the thing that I think the soul connection establishes, that we're not independent. I don't care who you are,
man, woman,
what you have, how strong you are individually, we are not independent. We're not built to be independent. Nothing organic is built to be independent. Organics are interdependent systems in and of themselves. That means they rely on something outside of themselves for survival, for sustenance, for anything. And our bonds with human beings are built on this interdependent connection. Yeah, we can operate independently, but we need to operate interdependent, and we need somebody, something to lean on, and that's what these connections are for, is that, you know, wherever you go, no matter what happens, you have these people that you can call and you can put that time in or whatever. And so I'm pretty sure with your friend, you know, all things can just go south and you can get on a plane and, you know, good and well, you can show up at the door and there's open arms. You know, that's those type of bonds.
Yeah.
We all need, and people that don't have those bonds, I think those are the people that we find out are the homeless, the destitute, the crazy, the vagabonds, because who doesn't have somewhere to go? I think that's
many people. When you close yourself off. But hold on. So I got this. Shelley said, I hate I missed the first half of this. This is really good. But what if you think someone is your soulmate, but they hurt you badly? And I wanted to get hers in before we run out of time.
I don't think it matters. I honestly don't think that matters. Now, somebody hurting you and a relationship being toxic is different. You know,
And I don't think you know, when you get into, and I think people have to understand, is that when you get into, you know, talking about soulmates, twin flames, soul connection, so forth and so on, it doesn't mean that the person is perfect, or that you're perfect,
right,
or that that everything is going to be perfect between you. So I think what it's saying and what it means is that if this person is truly connected to you on a soul level, that there shouldn't be anything that you can't get past. It shouldn't be.
There you go.
Yeah. So I don't think, you know, I don't think it necessarily means that, oh, this person wasn't a soulmate or someone that deeply cares for me because they hurt me badly. And Shelley, you're clearly listening. So if you want to share a little bit more really quickly before we run out of time, if you want to kind of give us a little bit more backstory on what you're talking about, I mean, but we're still human. You're still human. They're still human. So that means that, of course, we're capable of hurting each other.
Reason and a season.
You said what? Say it again.
I didn't mean to cut you off, and I'm not gonna keep your thought, but I'm saying it did say we coming into our lives for a reason and a season. So for that moment in time, you know, they might have hurt you, and perhaps, you know, you move past that, and that person, that soul's not going anywhere. It's going to come back around. They're going to be there. But go ahead. You're about to get into something in regards to you.
No, I'm just saying, but see, you brought up another point. And I want to clarify, because it doesn't mean that every soulmate or every person that you are connected with on a soul level is not going to be there for your life. It means that sometimes there are certain people that come in for a season. But I believe that every soul connection is for a reason, however, and that can be a painful situation sometimes. It's hard for, you know, when you're talking about people who have wounds and who have places of healing that they need to go through, you need someone to come into your life to kind of put that mirror up and kind of, you know, help you to see some things that you may not have wanted to see. So that's a very painful situation. So maybe, Shelly, I don't know if it was something like that, but you'd have, like I said, clarify it if you want to. We're not trying to get into your business. But me and Angie, like, we have, I think there was one time where we sort of had this confusion in the midst of us, and it was literally, it felt like I was missing a limb. Like, having confusion between the two of us, being in this place of conflict with her, it was like, it felt like the most unnatural thing, like, something that I just, you know, to know that she was hurt and for her to know that I hurt. And we kind of, you know, she's such a sweet soul and was giving me my space and I'm doing the same thing. It was torturous for both of us. And when we finally got on the phone and talked, we're just, you know.
Oh, God, never mind. I knew, how did I know that was coming? As soon as we got on the phone and talked, we started crying.
Listen, but no, seriously, no, we don't sound like that either.
Y'all do sound like that. That's how women sound when they cry.
No, they don't. Stop it. But seriously, all jokes aside, when we got on the phone and we started to talk, it was like there was no resistance from either of us that our main objective.
Oh, that's so cool.